Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm sitting here in a beautiful sunny day in Seattle. It's cold but gorgeous, and we love that. And what we have, Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and I wish all of you a fabulous holiday next week with friends and family and loved ones. It's important to remember the reason for this holiday is not just to go have a great turkey dinner and giving thanks for those of your loved ones around you. Think about who's been special in your life this year and how you might reach out to them and tell them how they have made an impact for you, and especially those you know who have had a difficult year or who have lost loved ones. It's hard at holiday times, and sharing your thoughts with them could be a blessing for them. My first guest is works in this area of helping people heal the pain of loss. It's also, we know from all the news, the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination, and that sure brings up lots of memories. It's still so fresh in our minds. We can remember exactly where we were, how we heard it, and being glued to our TV sets all weekend. And that just, you know, when we have anniversaries like that, this, it just brings it all back into our minds. And my guest is Sue Frederick. She's the best-selling author of Bridges to Heaven, Two Stories of Loved Ones on the Other Side, and also two other books, I See Your Dream Job and I See Your Soulmate. She's been an intuitive since childhood. Sue's work has been featured in the New York Times, CNN.com, Real Simple, Yoga Journal, and Natural Health magazines. And she's trained more than 500 intuitive coaches around the world. And through Sue's work with thousands of clients, she's learned that everyone is capable of lifting the veil and having their own direct healing experience of their departed loved one's presence. Sue believes that seeing and talking to your departed loved ones is not only possible but necessary in order to heal your pain and live your most meaningful life. Her work reveals the gift of loss and how it's designed to fuel your greatest work. She's also giving a workshop at the Woman Wisdom Conference on February 16th. The workshop is called Talking to Loved Ones on the Other Side for Guidance and Healing. So welcome, Sue.
Oh, Chris, it's a pleasure to be here with you again.
Yes, and this is a new book. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to write a book on death and dying.
Well, I've wanted to write this book for 30-something years. It's really my life's work. And finally, it was the right time, and I was able to get this book out. And I just feel like it really incorporates everything I've learned in this lifetime about who we are, why we're here, and where we go when we cross over. And grief has been my greatest teacher in my lifetime. I lost my husband to cancer when I was in my 20s, and then my best girlfriend shortly after that, and then my father, and on. But those were amazing soul gifts for me of really pushing me into a spiritual path, a spiritual awakening, to understand why they left, where they went, and why I was still here.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. That's because being in your 20s and losing your husband is not easy, and especially that.
Yeah, it's a big wake-up call.
Yes. And we expect that when we're older, you know. Yeah. But when you're younger, it's just not what it's. And tell us a little bit about your process of coming to terms with that.
Well, you know, it was Paul and I were mountain climbers here in Colorado, and we taught for Colorado Outward Bound School, and so it was all about being strong and conquering your challenges and overcoming things. And suddenly he was diagnosed with colon cancer and literally given 2 weeks to live. This was back in the 70s. And we decided that, of course, we would beat this and that it was just a challenge to overcome. And so we attacked it head on, you know, every conventional and alternative and spiritual healer that we could find, and had amazing experiences. And then 1 year after his diagnosis, he died in my arms from cancer.
So, but think of that time you gained, 2 weeks to 1 year.
Right.
Is a real gift.
It was a gift, and it was necessary for me, and he stayed longer to help me adjust, because I know that the soul chooses the exit point, especially we choose it before the lifetime begins. So he knew his soul chose this lesson to go through and to experience it with me as part of my learning process. And so we went through the death process together, him for different reasons. He was burning up negativity patterns that he thought he couldn't release any other way except through suffering. We don't have to learn through suffering, but some souls choose that. And then I was going through it for my own waking up, my own spiritual awakening, even though I didn't consciously know that at the time. And consciously, it just seemed like a terrible, tragic thing that we would go to a healer, we'd have great results, and a few weeks would go by and we'd be back in the hospital with another medical emergency, until finally it was pretty clear that the lesson was surrender and let it go. And he showed me in his moment of death his spirit. So it was just a beautiful conscious death, and when he took his last peaceful breath, he was in my arms. And I saw his spirit leave his body, and it's something I'll never forget, and it changed my life forever.
Yes, I imagine it would. I'm sure the lessons come even later than that. Like you said, you know, you don't always know in the moment.
Right. Well, you know, like anybody experiencing grief right now, I just want to say to you, of course, you're not going to have an enlightened perspective on it right now. You might have moments of it, but you're going to be feeling your pain, your anger, your guilt, your blame, all of the things that go with grief, and that is perfectly where you should be. You have to feel those things and do, hopefully, meditations to help you release them. In my book, Bridges to Heaven, I have a lot of meditations for feeling and releasing that pain so that when you're ready, you can begin to move forward. And our loved ones on the other side are always trying to help us heal and help us move forward. They don't want to see us lost in our grief. And it's actually very frustrating to them when we are just kind of stuck and won't get out of bed and we're angry and we're guilty. You know, guilt is one of those crippling emotions that people always feel when a loved one dies. We always feel that there was something we could have or should have done to stop it or prevent it. And, you know, our loved ones are on the other side going, wait a minute, this was a soulmate agreement. We agreed to go through this. You haven't done anything wrong. You're still there because you still have your soul mission to fulfill. And when we meditate and connect to them, we can actually have that conversation with them and heal from that conversation.
So aside from that, that's one of the reasons of the need to communicate with the dead. What else would you say is why this is important?
Well, you know, most of the time I work with grieving people all the time and teach grief workshops. And, you know, I can tell you, for example, on the first night of a grief workshop recently in Seattle, by the way, I was teaching at the East-West Bookstore in Seattle. On Friday night, everyone goes around the room and tells their story of loss, and people are in their devastation. You know, mothers have lost children. People have lost their spouses, and, you know, very intense grief and sadness. And the main pain they have is, you know, why did they have to go, and where are they, and why am I still here? And I take them through the group, through this process of quieting the monkey mind, going into meditation, having a conversation with their departed, and then writing down any impressions that come to them after the meditation. And what's amazing, Chris, is that of 20 grieving people in the room, not one person comes out of that without pages of written insights and things that their loved one has guided them to write, and we share it with each other, and it's just so profoundly healing. And this, and the grieving people are very clear that these words didn't come from them, that they came from their departed. And once they see it there on the paper, you know, the mother who lost her 20-year-old son to leukemia, you know, her son is saying to her in the writing, "Don't be a hungry ghost. Don't waste your life grieving for me. I want you outside and nature and healing and hiking and just all this very specific stuff to her." And then by the end of the workshop, she was crying with joy rather than crying from devastation.
Mm-hmm. What about, because I'm sure you get this, people who don't believe in this kind of communication.
Well, most people are cynical, you know, to begin with, because they haven't experienced it before, and so they don't believe that it's real. And everybody is intuitive. I mean, you know that, Chris. We all have a left brain and a right brain, and our right brain is our feminine divine intuition. It's our connection to the God, the divine, the inner knowingness, and it's how our departed can communicate with us. And what I say to people is, you know, you can doubt it and be cynical, but the minute you sit down and learn to quiet your mind through meditation and you hear that voice speak to you, or you see the flash of that spirit in the side of the corner of your eye, and or the lights flick on and off, all of these ways that they try to connect to us, then your own cynicism begins to melt, because it's not like a psychic sitting here saying, you know, "I feel your loved one on the other side and this is what they're saying." Instead, it's you having that experience yourself. And we're all completely capable of it.
Yeah, so you're just guiding people for them to get there. You're not being a psychic saying, because that's a whole other thing.
Right.
A psychic is talking to your loved ones. You're guiding people to do this themselves.
And, you know, I do see the departed, because they've been talking to me for years and years from my own posse of souls on the other side. But when I work with a grieving person, I want them to have that experience. And if they're feeling stuck, if they're feeling, you know, "I just don't know if I can trust this," then I'll share what I'm getting from their departed. And usually they'll go, "That's exactly what I heard or I saw." And so then it's a validation. But I want them to have it. I want them to have that experience, because then they get to go home or go back to their normal life and know how, when they're having a bad day, they can sit down, meditate, and have a conversation with their departed and say, help me get through this day, and are you here, and just feel their loving arms around them. And I just had a grieving client this morning I did a session with, and she lost her 7-year-old nephew who she adored so much. And as we were talking, you know, he was so present and so joyful that we were both feeling his presence. He is such a powerful spirit on the other side. And he was making us laugh and telling jokes the way he did when he was here. And, you know, we went through an hour-long session, and by the end, she was laughing more than she was sad. And that's because she felt him.
Yeah, that's a great example and a wonderful healing for them. So this is Chris Danish. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Sue Frederick.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Do you ever wonder why you feel off balance and out of focus most of your life? Would you like to have an aha moment every day? The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, will empower you to feel wonderment every moment of every day. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information which gives hope to everyone from the healthy to the health challenged. Get ready to restore and maintain your wholeness, mind, body, and spirit through learning the latest complementary and alternative healing modalities. Your new reality will introduce you to an unlimited world of possibilities with the gumption to take epic action for your life. This call-in show with wholeness coach Michelle Bond will give you insight to a wide range of topics, from nutrition to lifestyle choices to manifesting your wildest dreams. Tune in Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of...
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Sue Frederick today. Sue, can you give your contact information, your website, where people can find out about your work? And
yes, my website is bridgestoheaven.com, which is like the name of my book, Bridges to Heaven, True Stories of Loved Ones on the Other Side. And they can go there to read about my sessions or my webinars or my workshops.
Okay, great. And you're also going to be giving a workshop at Women of Wisdom, which is... talking to the loved ones on the other side for guidance and healing. So that's going to be great. It's going to be Sunday, February 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to, we were talking about intuition and how that plays into this work, because you really have to go inside to really trust that you're getting, like you said, with this woman, you were talking about how you spoke, what you had felt and heard from this person. And she said, oh, that's just what I heard. Sometimes we doubt that.
Mm-hmm,
and,
right.
You know, we don't, oh, that was just me making that up. That wasn't real. And so
right.
when you say that back, that this is what you got too, it validates that for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, our monkey minds or our, you know, our left brains are always trying to be logical and dismiss our intuitive knowing. And yet that right hemisphere of our brain that is always speaking to us about intuition and connecting to things that are unseen, you know, that's the part of our brain that we need to learn to listen to more and trust more. And our whole culture is so left brain dominated right now, just totally into linear logical thinking. And you can call that male energy. Right? And that kind of living and thinking and cynicism has gotten our world exactly where it is.
Yeah.
So it would serve all of us to incorporate our right brain intuitions and knowingness and feelings into our world view. And that means beginning to give ourselves the benefit of dropping cynicism, opening up to what scares us, which is that, yes, we do know things beyond the seen world, all of us. And, yes, our departed do try to comfort us. and communicate with us, and that if we can quiet the doubt, quiet the fear, we can all have that healing experience.
Well, you just mentioned that, how we often block that out. So why does that, why and how do we do that?
We are culturally programmed. We're culturally programmed to block out our intuition, our inner knowingness from the time we're children. And, you know, it's not in anything that our parents or our teachers do to be hurtful. It's just that the laws of our world are pay attention, follow the rules, be quiet. That's not a ghost in the corner of the room, you know. I mean, we are taught that from the time we're children, to dismiss the input we're getting from the other realms. And yet that there's been scientific studies showing that, yes, psychic phenomenon is real. You know, I'm sure you know about Dean Radin. He's cited more than 200 scientific studies about all of this, validating it. But still, our world is so cynical about it. So it really comes down to, people go through a loss. They lose someone they love. Suddenly, that person who's departed is trying to comfort and communicate with them. They start having their own intuitive experiences, and it begins to change them and wake them up to a different view of the world, and it's very healing. And when we lose someone we love, it is a soulmate agreement with them, and we are staying here because we promise to stay and learn and evolve and grow and help others. And as long as we're here, that's what we're still up to. And losing ourselves in our grief and our pain only stalls the progress, and it doesn't help us get to our great work. And I tell people, when they're grieving, they say, I don't want to be here anymore. And I'll say, well, get your soul's work done. Get to the great mission here and evolve and open up and learn. And then you can cross over and go back and be with your loved ones on the other side. But just get it done.
Yeah, and we don't, that's the thing, we don't know, you know, is it to put our mind out there that, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. Well, you're going to be here as long as you're going to be here.
Exactly. You know?
Well, what do you say to, because, and I know this is awkward, and I'm sure we all have gone through this, when we have a friend who's had a husband or a child or their mother, right, or somebody very special in their life they've lost. What is your advice of how to approach that for people?
Yeah, there's a whole chapter in my book, so please read it, anybody who has a friend who's grieving, because the most important thing to do is ask to hear the story. And people who are grieving want to talk about what has just happened. They want to share the details of it. They want to talk about that last day, that last minute, and that last breath, and they want to share it and cry about it and just keep releasing that, and nobody in our culture wants to hear it or go near it. We're so terrified of death. And so one of the processes we do in the workshop is that every single person tells their story fully to the group, and that's the first part. We have to just be cathartic and get that out there and have some people listen to it. And when you have a friend who's grieving, call them or go over there and sit down, make a cup of coffee for the two of you, and say, tell me the whole story. Were you there? What happened? What did you feel? And even ask questions like, has he come to you in dreams since then? And you'll see that person light up and go, yes, you know, I had this amazing dream where he told me this. And, you know, just really dig into it with them. That's what they need. That's what they need, is people who will listen.
And just listen, not to be given advice of what to do or,
well,
you know,
please don't say those little things. I mean, I remember when Paul had died, you know, I was 29 years old, and people didn't know what to say. And I remember one person saying, well, it's okay, you're still young, you know, you'll find somebody else to love. And it's like, you just don't want to hear that. That is like the least comforting kind of statement that you can say to someone. But we're just so terrified of grief in our world that we are afraid to go into it. And you've got to dig into it with the person who's grieving. Don't treat them like they have the plague, like don't know what to say to them, stay away from them. And the other thing is, don't act like it was such a horrible experience for them that you don't want to talk about it with them, because it's all they want to talk about until they're ready to move on.
Yeah. And I'm saying, I remember having a friend who struggled with her mother passing for years. And I could just see, it was kind of you watching her being stuck in her grief mm-hmm. and not moving forward. But that was what she had to go through. You know, who are we to judge?
You know, we've just got to feel it until we're ready to move on. And for some people, that can go on a long time. And for others, I found that the more people you lose, the quicker you are able to sort of move through that grieving process. You know, I mean, with Paul in my 20s, you know, I could say I was heavily grieving for 5 years. And, you know, nowadays my family kids me that, you know, it's like if somebody's crossing over, I just go, oh, you're just going to be so happy on the other side, and I'll see you soon and have a great time. Like I have a whole different approach to it, you know.
Yeah, yes.
But we have to be in that state of grief for as long as it takes. However, there is a meditation that I teach and I write about in my book to help remove some of that pain from your heart so that you can begin to move forward. And if you want to know why you should bother to move the pain out of your heart, well, there's two reasons. Number one, your loved one is watching you, and it hurts them very much to see you in so much pain. And the second reason is that you've just got to fulfill your soul's mission and get on with it, and there's no way to do that as long as you're carrying that heavy burden of grief. So sit down, close your eyes, repeat a mantra or a prayer for 10 minutes to quiet your mind. I like the mantra Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. It means I bow to divinity. And then when your mind begins to settle, take your hand and turn the palm face up and put it in front of your heart chakra, in front of your chest, and say, I ask to feel the pain that's in my heart and release it, and just feel that grief. Let yourself cry. Think about those last minutes of your loved one's life and cry and imagine and picture that pain pouring into your upturned hand. And then take your hand and move it away from you and up and say, I offer this pain to the divine to be transformed into love. And you can just keep doing that process until you feel a lightening of your energy. And if you do it first thing in the morning, you will have such a good day, such a better day than you've been having before, because you won't feel that heavy weight of grief.
Oh, that's so great to offer that to our audience, and I hope people will do that because it would really probably make a big impact on having some better days in those hard times. Well, we have 1 minute left if you want to share with us how to get through the holidays, because that's a hard time for people who have lost loved ones.
It's so important that when you're getting through your first year of holidays, anniversaries, Christmas, all of that, that you do something out of the ordinary and more spiritually based than you used to. So, for example, going and sitting around the family Christmas tree acting like nothing happened is going to make you feel worse. But if you say, hey, what would our loved one want to see us doing? Would they like us to go take care, you know, visit sick children in the children's hospital and give gifts? Or would they want us to go feed people at the homeless shelter? What is the unusual sort of helpful thing we could do this holiday season to get through the holidays in honor of who they were when they were here? And rather than meaningless parties, you're going to feel a whole lot better when you're serving a meal to someone without a home, or you're comforting a child who's sick in the hospital. Some sort of volunteer or spiritual tradition, like, you know, going on a meditation retreat, something that gets you out of your ordinary routine for the holidays is going to help you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Sue, for being here today.
Thank you, too. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And again, I think your website was called bridgestoheaven.com.
And also under my name, they can find it, too, suefrederick.com.
Okay. And note that she will be at the conference on February 16th giving that workshop, and you can check that out on womanofwisdom.org on our website. So this is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we'll be talking to Janaki Severi.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
If you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, if you want a book that will change your life, then you won't want to miss getting Sandy Brewer's compelling memoir, Pursuit of a Light. Get it now in our holiday gift sale for only $9.97. Plus, receive Sandy's special gift to you of her amazing audio series, Six Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing. Go to sandybrewer.com, click the book tab to place your order, and at checkout, use the coupon code HOLIDAY. Get the sale package valued at over $40 for only $9.97 today at sandybrewer.com.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
Tune in each Wednesday at noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that'll help catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers and light workers guaranteed to raise your vibration. Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity is what makes this show super special. Visit FogCityPsychic.com to find out more and to book your private intuitive reading today.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'd like to introduce you now to Janaki Severi. She is an executive coach. She designs trainings and does group facilitation and public speaking. Has worked for many years in organizations. And in addition, she is a highly intuitive and has a way of seeing to the heart of a person, a cause, or problem. So she brings deep and transformative results to her trainings and participants. They report back that they feel seen, heard, and very involved throughout the whole experience. Her website is www.managingdynamics.com. And she's given a workshop at our conference on Sunday, February 16th in the evening. It's called Women and Men Relating with Heart. And that is a workshop that is open to men, too. So it'll be a men and women relating with heart. We'll be doing that in the workshop. So welcome, Janaki.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about relationships and about how men and women, they misunderstand each other. And I think all of those us that are in partnership know that. It's like all of a sudden something shifts. Go, what? How did that happen? I've talked to my girlfriends about this. It's like all of a sudden there's this misunderstanding, you know, and we're different. And then how do we honor those differences and relate to each other with heart? So one thing I was thinking about is like there are these typical stereotypes. And we can jump to those so quickly and stereotype people when we see someone or hear someone, you know, maybe something triggers us and then we start judging and labeling them with that stereotype. So how did all they get started? How did those stereotypes get started? And what do we do about them?
Long, 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 long time ago, of course, we all remember the Renaissance times where women were property and they were valued based on their status and bringing children to the family. And so it took women a long time to move out of being part of an estate to actually being an individual. And, of course, in the Western world, that happened probably most exactly with the wars and Rosie the Riveter and women stepping in to take the place of men, but, of course, apologetically, only temporarily. Aha. And then all of a sudden, women recognized that they were actually much more capable and able to do things other than being a family member as a property, and hopefully that property was respected, but sometimes not. So a lot of stereotypes, you know, got developed. You know, women aren't as strong as men. Women are supposed to make less money than men. The best women are video games. Men are not nurses. All men enjoy working on cars. Men are lazy or messy, and women are organized. And what's interesting is if we get way back to genetics, men and women are actually functionally still born to reproduce. And whether or not in today's world we choose not to have kids, that's certainly very much a free choice. But our biophysiology has differences. And some of that is that we were wired up. And women are as whole brain thinkers. We actually see the whole room, not parts of the room. And why is that? Because often we're seeing through the eyes of my child safe. We hear all of the baby's cry. Is that a cry for help? Is that a cry I'm hungry? Is that a cry somebody just bopped me on the playground? Men just hear some babies crying. Why? Because they're wired up to hunt, to provide. So, Chris, it starts from our genetics and then works forward to socialization and stereotypes.
Well, how do we how do we shift that? We're sort of in this transition now, and it leaves some people, especially men, I think, lost. You know, because women are pushing forward. You know, we're almost demanding our, you know, the equal place on the stage.
Right. Well, I think part of what is beneficial, and I certainly hope a lot of people come to the talk, is things like this talk actually helping each gender understand its value. And I'm actually anti-gender bashing my own personal life. I won't let any of my friends put their partners down, even in fun. I mean, I don't get out of control about it or anything like that, but I say, you know, really, that very thing that you're complaining about is actually one of the gifts men have. And I think if we could take these differences and value them, then we could say, oh, for example, I remember when my children were much younger, and I asked my husband at the time to take care of them for a couple of days while I was traveling. And I came home, and the house looked like Ken and Barbie had beach blast. I have two daughters. They were happy. They were fed. They were sleeping. All good. And I said to him, what did you do for these last 2 days? This was before I gave up gender bashing, by the way. And he said, I took care of the kids. That was it. No house cleaning, no laundry, no nothing. And that's, you know, one of the strengths of men is they can be very hyper-focused. They don't get distracted. Trying to get a business deal or fix something, they can stay on it. Women think and experience things holistically. If they're doing something with the focus and a child cries, they will stop and go check in on that. So ironically, the very things that are beautiful in certain circumstances, in others we find irritating. So I believe one of the opportunities is education. Another one is taking the time to listen and ask questions when the other gender is doing something you don't understand.
Oh, yeah, I think asking questions and that can, you know, it stops it. It's kind of like, okay, wait a minute. Rather than going into the usual reacting, if you just kind of ask out of curiosity, why did you say that? Sometimes it's you didn't say that. Some people are hard of hearing.
Well, exactly. And I love what you said. One of my favorite taglines is it's more useful to be curious than to be right. So, for example, in a man's world, they grow up in if we speak about a conversation for a man, it's actually a way to report out and designate what's important, or it's a way to prevent people from overstepping boundaries. And when men listen to conversation, they listen and say nothing. It's like I respect you. Women do something called dovetailing. And the way women let each other know that they're listening is they say, uh-huh, oh, I know just what you mean. And they'll actually interrupt and say, me too. And so a woman knows that her peers, her women peers, are interested because they're dovetailing and interrupting. Now she goes home and tells her husband something, and he says nothing. And she's waiting for him to interrupt and dovetail and be interested. He says nothing. And she says, are you listening? He says, yes. Well, what do you think? And he said, well, you're not done. So right off the bat, she feels he doesn't care. Let's take the man. He's positioning. He's sharing the information. She keeps interrupting him. And he feels like, you don't respect me. You don't even listen to what I have to say. She's trying to dovetail, encourage, participate. He experienced it as blah, 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 blah. She never listens. Can you see, Chris, already where some of these differences can cause some challenges?
Yeah, that reminds me, like Jean Houston talks about, women are about process and men are about product. You know, get things done, yes. Fix it. It's very, you know, linear. Yes. And we women, we process. We're, you know, so we may not always know the ending of what we're thinking or saying until we get through it. It's kind of a circular talk.
Exactly. Well, and men, they share information and women share feelings. Let's say your husband goes off with a couple of guy friends and he comes home and you say, how's his wife? I don't know. Well, did his son go off to school? I know he was hesitant what school to go to. I don't know. Well, did he win that game? Yeah, they were talking about that game. I don't know. And the woman often says, like, well, what did you talk about? He goes, we watched the game, right? We gathered the information on the game. That's it. But women go out to, let's say, have a lunch or watch a fashion show. They come back with, you know, 3 years of family history. So even the kind of information we share becomes very, very interesting. And yet, you mentioned earlier, women now are moving into the male environment and men are staying home. I work with a lot of women that are corporate executives, and I would say maybe 20%, they made a decision who had the best income opportunity, and in some cases, the man stays home with the husband. So now he has to orient how to feel respected as a stay-at-home dad. And she has to orient how to feel when her women friends say, oh, you're the breadwinner? Oh, gosh, how is that for you? So not only do we want to understand these genetic differences, these culturally trained differences, but also these societal value judgments around role.
Yeah, and it might be different depending on who you hang out with, who your circle of friends are, because I think that's kind of shifting too. I don't hear women kind of going, oh, that's too bad, you're the breadwinner. In my circle of people, I'm sure there are people that experience that. So I think it's shifting where we're honoring that. I'm wondering how it's different in the workplace of honoring and respecting. What I'm still hearing is we're still the feminine way of speaking, the woman's way of speaking, and not feeling heard, and the whole difference in the workplace, which I'd like to get to when we come back from the break to talk about that. Because I think that's a real issue for women, because they just shut down. If they're not feeling heard in that place where they're in a workplace and have a responsibility and can't have that type of dialogue that, you know, what I hear from women is they still feel not respected and they don't feel heard. So why bother? I'm not going to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is Chris Danis. We are on Voices of Women. And when we return, we will continue our conversation with Janaki Severi.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there?
Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Do you ever wonder why you feel off balance and out of focus most of your life? Would you like to have an aha moment every day? The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, will empower you to feel wonderment every moment of every day. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information which gives hope to everyone from the healthy to the health challenged. Get ready to restore and maintain your wholeness, mind, body, and spirit through learning the latest complementary and alternative healing modalities. Your new reality will introduce you to an unlimited world of possibilities with the gumption to take epic action for your life. This call-in show with wholeness coach Michelle Bond will give you insight to a wide range of topics, from nutrition to lifestyle choices to manifesting your wildest dreams. Tune in Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Janaki Severi today. She's given a workshop at the Woman Wisdom Conference February 16th on Sunday evening. It's called Woman and Man Relating with Heart. So that's what we're talking about. And it's going to a workshop. It is open to men and women. So I think it's going to be, I hope men will come. We do get men in the evenings now, and it'd be interesting to have this dialogue together. So we were talking about the difference, you know, the difficulties that we have in the workplace even, because it's still that same thing of the product. Men are, you know, from what I hear, I'm not in corporate world anymore. I left it because I didn't want to be in this linear mode and this patriarchal mode, but of getting things done and what's lost. And I'm reading a lot that what's lost in and what corporations need to bring back is this sense of going, having the process, which is that feminine way of being in meetings and in creating what your products are or what your company is, that it's a very it can be lost if you don't allow that feminine voice in and getting that balance. So what are you seeing? Because you work with a lot of companies. What are you seeing now?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that have gone on. First is that there is something called white male competitive model that placed in the 50s. Where the reason that men created a standard of what work was they could work 68, 70 hours a week. They could do anything the company wanted, and the woman literally managed the home. So now one of the things that has happened with women being valued and having bringing that energy in is being able to do it in a way that allows them to still be women, meaning to hold their place in a home and to, if they choose to, childbear or parent care or significant other care. And so what we're looking at right now is changing the environment so that women can have flexibility and that flexibility is valued, not tolerated. Meaning, many high-powered women do something called ramping on and ramping off. They ramp off when they have children, they ramp back on. But we found that until organizations allow the ramp on to have equal value, they never quite get to where they were before. So then that affects what you're saying. If a woman's way, her whole brain thinking, her sensitivity, her compassion is not allowed to get at a fairly senior level to affect the organization, then it stays as, oh, that's just a woman's way. But companies that allow women to have leadership positions actually are more productive and gain more market share. So there's evidence that when a woman is closer to the top or at the top, her way of business actually brings in more business for today's world because she is more compassionate, more fair play oriented, and creates a great deal of internal loyalty. So part of what we need to do is create work environments where women of all choices, children, not caring for elders, can work and still be part of the company, even if it's not full-time or even if they take time off. And then women are respected. Once they're respected, then how they are is going to be additionally respected. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. And I've been reading that, too, that companies that are bringing this balance in, when there's more women leaders in a company, they are more productive because they are going to be more concerned with the human element of how people are treated in the workplace. And the better you're treated, the more you're going to produce for your company, the more loyalty you're going to have and all that. So that's it's important. And I think you see a lot of women leaving companies to start their own business, like the highest number of people starting their own business because they want to get out from under that kind of model that we have is women. The highest number of entrepreneurs are women, and they're leaving for that reason. And so companies have to change if they're going to, you know, it's just more and more people are starting their own businesses because they're not happy with what the status quo is, what business as usual is.
Exactly. And some of the qualities that women are asking for, whether they're inside an organization or whether they start their own, is one, permission to feel like themselves as leaders versus acting to hide their voices and values and attitude as women. Two, ways to have a whole balanced life and remain caregivers in whatever capacity works for them. Three, self-clarity, understanding people's reactions to them and being able to have collaborative discussions around those differences. Also, women have a high need for connection. So women connect to inside the company, peers, partners, and co-leaders, but they also connect outside the company and do a significant amount of very different and deep networking. And finally, women need to develop behaviors where their effectiveness is seen as a value as opposed to something that is inappropriate for women.
And so what would you consider that? Give us an example.
Well, for example, if a man is in a discussion with a number of other men and there's a difference of opinion, and he says, I actually don't see it that way, Bob. I think there is another way to look at it. He's considered a good conversationalist. If a woman says, hey, you know, Bob, I actually don't see it that way, she's considered assertive and maybe pushy. So the interesting duality is until women are seen as powerful as women with all their attributes, then their assertiveness or directness is seen as part of their whole delivery. If women are seen as less than, not able, only able to work full-time, not able to commit to the company, can't bring enough to the table, then when they are assertive, they're seen as pushy. So there's layers of shifts that need to occur. And I think, for example, Women of Wisdom, I think a lot of organizations that promote women stepping into their womanhood while remaining powerful and respectful, I think it's very important that women not gender bash men or
yes.
make jokes about them. It's very important that we honor what the masculine brings and find ways to segue and interface while remaining powerful ourselves. And I think education, I think, you know, last year I did a program on women leadership and alchemy, which was talking about how women could be positioned in organizations. This talk, by the way, will combine a little bit of that so that we can start understanding how do we create successive approximation to be seen in the way we know we're valued. In other words, research says that women bring a lot to the table and build more market share. But statistically, if we look at companies across the world, there are very few companies today that actually bring women to the senior table. So in 2011, the Women's Leadership Development Survey indicated 71% of global organizations do not have a clearly defined strategy or philosophy for leadership roles for women. So across the world, there is an opportunity for women to come into organizations and hold their own in a way that is respectful, aligned, and also honoring their woman skills and talents.
Yes, and that third thing is important because we sometimes give those up because we feel we have to be, or it's out there in the company way to be, we have to interact as men do in order to make it. And then we leave behind what our gifts is and that process and that balance that is needed also. But it is important to note what you talk about is good is the respectfulness of because we're not asking, and maybe this is the fear, we're not asking men to not be men, to just do it our way. We're asking it to be equal. You know, there is the male aspect and the female aspect, and we have them all within ourselves too, to honor both. It's not about taking over. Well, we want to do it just our way. And that's not what we're talking about.
We're also talking about the fact that women are childbearers, and women are more likely than not caregivers. And so if you were to say all women who want to be in the business world cannot have children, and no women had children for 30 years, the world would shift. So everybody wants us to have children. That's currently part of what we do in the world. We bring this little life to the world to grow and share with us. So part of what men all have to also have to do is honor the position of childbearing or elder caring. Let's say a woman chooses not to have children, but she chooses to care for her elders in a way that's more touch-related and perhaps brings them into her home. Then that also needs to be honored, not as a secondary choice, because that's what women do,
yes,
but as a primary choice, which is, isn't it wonderful? Not only do women work, not only do they bear children, not only do they bring these children up to become citizens and participants of our future, but they also care for the elders in our family. Gosh, what a diverse group of people. Not to make women better than men, but to honor these various roles that we play and allow us, let's say, to work three-quarter time while we're caring for an aging parent.
Yeah, and there's lots of things that we can do to shift. Well, it's great to talk with you today, Janaki. I want to give everyone, your website is www.managingdynamics.com. And if anyone's interested, she has an hour session she's offering for two people, I think. It's on work balance, career direction, work challenges. You can email Janaki at janakis@msn.com. And remember,
Beautiful.
She's giving this workshop at Woman of Wisdom on Sunday, February 16th. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today as we head towards the holidays. Take a look at how you can relate with the opposite gender. See if you can shift that to relating through the heart. It could make an impact for a more enjoyable Thanksgiving. And I want to announce I'm starting my webinar, which is Embracing the New Leadership Paradigm, Stepping into Confidence and Unleashing the Leader Within. It starts this Monday, November 25th. And just go to my website, chrysalisleadership.com. There's a special offer. If you click the PayPal button, it'll give it to you for $97. It is a 4-week course. And it's about developing leadership skills, learning how, developing the tools that you can, where you can learn how to bring your voice to that table we're talking about, where you can help in the process of contributing everyone's gifts to the group, and how you can shift the difficult dynamics that happen in groups. And I've got lots of tools to share, and it's going to be a great course. So I hope you will check that out on my website, chrysalisleadership.com. And also check out the Women of Wisdom Conference. We have early bird specials happening in December for some of our featured guests, and lots of events and workshops. It's all individually priced and also a special rate for the whole weekend. So you can just go to www.womenofwisdom.org and check that out. It really is an inspiring, life-changing conference. We've been around 22 years, so that says we're doing something right, I'd say. Well, this is Chris Stainis. I'm also the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. So I invite you to check out my book as well. Next week, I'll be interviewing two more presenters from Woman of Wisdom. And so I look forward to talking to you then. And everybody have a great weekend and a great Thanksgiving holiday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.transformationtalkradio.com. That's www.transformationtalkradio.com.